Afternoon, you're here with Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, 12 noon, June 20th, and we've got a big show today, a long show. We've got interviews from RAM, we've got an interview with the founder, Lon Haldeman, founder of RAM, and also some words from the original four RAM riders. We've got an on-the-road report from RAM coming up, also chatting with Fred Bothling, talking about logistics of RAM. That's courtesy of the RAM website. Gen X reporting in from the Tulsa Tough in Oklahoma, sounds of the San Pedro Grand Prix, including a post-race interview with the Masters 35-plus winner, John Wyke of Ironfly. So let's head on into some of our interviews and race results coming up right now on Bike Sport Radio, starting with a interview with founder Lon Haldeman of RAM. This is great. Hey, I'm here with Lon Haldeman, Bike Sport Radio, here at the start of RAM 2011. Is it the 30th year?
30th yeah, this year? Is the 30th running of the race this right. this year. Yes.
And you're the founder and the original.
In 1982, on August 4th, that was the very first race. Started at Santa Monica Pier, went to the Empire State Building in New York City. Mm-hmm. That race that year is about 2,976 miles.
Mm. Nice. And there were how many riders the very first year?
There were four.
Four.
Four. Myself, John Howard, John Marino, Michael Shermer. And the thing with the sport back then, too, is the reason there's only four is not that many people knew anything about long-distance riding or even wanted to do long-distance riding. You know, you had maybe the Davis Double Century, and that was considered a really long ride.
Right.
Other than that, anything over 200 miles was bizarre.
Yeah.
And so people look at the culture, and as you know, they thought we were crazy. You know, we were doing a ride to the moon. And people are like, God, you guys are going to ride across the country.
Yeah.
You know, to do it at, under 10 days was considered bizarre.
Right.
You know, because at that time, well, the transcontinental record I had set the year earlier at 10 days, 23 hours, and even that was considered off the charts. But so anyway, this whole, there wasn't an ultra marathon base, and there wasn't the mentality that it was even possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people thought, you know, doing the Ironman, in Hawaii that John Howard had won in the previous year, you know, that was like the ultimate.
The
and so anything longer than a day was considered bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's come a long ways in 30 years now. This is awesome, and I'm honored to be here. And thanks for your time, huh?
Yep, okay, thanks.
San Pedro Grand Prix held on Father's Day. Category 5 is picking up 5th place, Majestic Cycling's Joshua Martin. 4th place going to Jessup Auto Plaza's Ben Travis. 3rd place, Majestic Cycling, Daniel Caldera. 2nd place, Wesley Hendershot. And your winner, Zetina Cifredo. San Pedro Grand Prix Category 4 results. Tom Rogers making the podium with 3rd place, running for California Pools DeWalt. Chris Ayers in 2nd, running for Coats Cyclery. And your winner, Robert Engel, in the women's category 3s and 4s.
Taking 3rd place, Lisa Mueller, riding for Metro Mint Cycling. Now MS Society's Julie Guthrie in 2nd, and Platinum Performance's Holly Breck taking the win.
The Masters 45-plus, 3rd place on the podium. Breakaway UBS Elite Masters, Peter Sullivan. 2nd place going to Back Abbey Coates Elite Masters, John Nist. And your winner from California Pools Racing DeWalt, Alan Flores. In the men's category 3, Evan Stodd taking 3rd place, running for Show Air Rock and Road. Stratton Easter riding for Riddy Racing. And Robbie Miranda was your winner. Masters 60-plus, Leo Pettis taking 3rd place, riding for Paramount Racing. 2nd place going to Aqua Aldui's Fred Nicolette. And your winner from UC Cyclery, JW Floors, John Rubik.
in the Masters 55 plus. UC Cycling, JW Flooring, Paul Rodriguez taking third. Swami Cycling's Gary Shuey in second, and your winner from UC Cyclery, JW Floors, Michael Mueller. Masters 35 plus, third place going to Michael Easter, second place Franco MRI Racing, presented by Wins Wheels, Chris McDonald, and your winner, riding for the host club, Ironflies, John Wyke. And in the women's pros, 1 through 3, is Team Tibco, Alexis Ryan taking third place. Second place going to SC Velo's Pam Schuster. And your winner, also riding for Team Tibco, to the top, Kendall Ryan. Fifth place in the men's pros and Category 1-2's Trevor Hag, Swami Cycling. Sixth place. Fifth place going to David Robertson, riding for SoCal Cycling. And in fourth place, riding for Skills, presented by Pista Palace, Christy Markey. Third place going to Show Air Rock En-ROADS, John Gabriel. Second place, Full Circle Sports, Mike Tettleton. And your winner, riding for Cash Call Mortgage, Anthony Canavari. Okay, and then we got some incoming results here from the Satley time trial in Northern California. Picking up the junior win in the 13-14, Robbie Farrens, riding for Rocket Sports Racing. Junior men 17-18, William Zelmore was your winner, riding for Team Specialized Juniors. And Jan Elsbach, riding for Voss Racing, taking the win in the tandems 110+. Women's Category 4, Yvonne Walbroil, riding for Penn Velo Pomodora, taking the win. Category 4 and 5s, Masters 35+, Oliver Ryan was your winner, riding for R4R. Cat 4s and 5s, Divine Electric NorCal's Travis Duro, picking up the win there. Masters Women 50+, Marianne Levinson was your win. And in the Masters Men's 60+, Peter Tapscott from Portola Valley, running for Webcor Alto Velo, was your winner. Masters 50+, Kevin Metcalf, taking the win for Team Specialized Racing. Masters 45, Craig Romer, was your winner, also running for Team Specialized Racing. And in the Masters 35, Jason Griefrath from Teleo Racing. The under 23 women, Jerrica Hutchinson, picked up the win. And in the open women's category, Molly Van Howling, riding for Metro Mint Cycling, was your winner. And the men's pro and open race, Jesse Moore, taking that win, riding for Cal Giant Cycling. Cal Giant Cycling. Again, that was the Satley time trial. All right, upcoming events. We've got a nice audio here courtesy of Burlingham, Burlingham Criterium. Let's listen to all about the Burlingham Criterium, the kids' race, including Ryan's Ride.
We're here in downtown Burlingham on a beautiful summer morning for the Burlingham Criterium and Ryan's Ride. There's several thousand people here, and it's incredible. We had over 700 kids riding this morning, all different stages, all the way from 4 years old, where they're getting pushed by their parents, up until, you know, 8 and 10 year olds. Then we also have a bunch of pro riders who started as early as 7 a.m. today and going up till about 1 p.m.
The Criterium, it started back in 1976. We've had races here in the downtown area, and we've got pros, women, men, and a whole bunch of amateur classes here racing today. Beautiful day.
We're at the Ryan Poix Memorial Kids Ride, and this is our 7th year anniversary of having this event in memory of our son Ryan.
We set up a memorial fund at the Lance Armstrong Foundation to support cancer survivorship program. And I think when I see those little kids, 680 of them, that walk on the course, ride on the course with a big smile on, you know, I just think it's just a great way to represent my son.
There's different age groups, and the 4 and under are gonna ride 200 meters, the start to finish, and then the 5 to 8 is gonna ride one lap, and the 9 to 12 is going to ride 2 laps.
I've been out here for 5 years, and I really like riding around the track. The ride is a lot of fun, and it's a great experience.
The Ryan's Ride, big draw, huge draw for us. and it makes it kind of completes the whole program that we have for the day.
So, you know, I do a lot of traveling. I travel all around the country and I announce races in Europe. And one of the really unique things about here is this Ryan's Ride. We had 650 kids pre-registered last night to come do this ride. And it's a memorial ride and it's about the kid. And so that's really awesome. This may be the biggest kids ride in the country. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. And you add that on top of the Burlingame Criterium, which are the races that all the other guys have, and the women as well. It really puts together a nice package here in Burlingame, and I hope to be here for many years to come.
So I'm out here on Crybaby Hill. I'm running into Carrie Higgins with Peanut Butter & Co. 2012. Carrie, you've had a really active year since Track Nationals last year. Give me a little brief history of what you've been doing and where you're going.
The short of the story is I've been at home for 53 days in 7 months, so there's been a lot of travel for track season all winter. I took a quick break, like about just under a week, and I hit the road pretty hard just to get in shape for the road season. And here I am, my first weekend on the roads, for me, my first weekend of a road season.
Awesome, and you've had a pretty good race. I know it's tough out here in Crybaby Hill, but how's your team doing this weekend?
Well, we've had a string of bad luck this weekend, unfortunately, but we always love Tulsa and Crybaby Hill. No matter how bad you feel, you want to race it because it's so fun. So that's my story today.
Awesome. Next week, where are you headed?
I'm going to do Tour of America's Dairyland. Pretty excited about that. 10 days in a row, about 7 crits, couple road races, and a time trial.
Awesome, Carrie. Well, we sure wish you luck here for Bike Sport Radio.
Thanks so much.
All right, that was Carrie Higgins at the Tulsa Tough. Interview with Carrie Higgins by our field correspondent, Jen X. And we've got some Ram, good stuff from Ram coming up here. We've got a chance to talk to Shauna Hogan, the legend herself, also Fred Bothling, and more from Ram. Let's go to Shauna Hogan right now.
Can I shake a legend's hand?
Sure.
Shauna Hogan, is that correct?
Yeah.
Shauna Hogan, the legend.
Hi, Dan.
I'm with
nice
Team 4Mil. I'm an 8-person team. But
okay.
I know who you are. I just
okay.
want to say hello.
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
Good to see you in the race again.
Yeah, good luck. Well, I'm not racing.
Oh, you're just riding?
Just riding, yeah.
Okay.
Bike Sport Radio's here at the start of Ram 2011.
I had to go and use Ram.
And we're here with...
Great.
It's nice to meet you.
Good luck. Have
right,
fun
thanks.
Out there.
The legend. Everybody's shaking your hands. I must be honored to be a legend, Shauna. Yeah. Bike Sport Radio, I'm Brad House.
And
in your mind. Well, hey, this is an honor, actually. I'm honored to get a chance to chat with you from Bike Sport Radio.
So.
And we're all about
I'm
bike racing,
like
bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. So, you're here for the celebrity ride? Or
yes.
Okay, cool,
yeah.
For the start.
And I rode out with the women yesterday.
Oh, okay. The women's start was yesterday.
Yes.
Right. I missed that.
Yeah.
Great. And when was the last time you did the full ramp?
1998.
Yeah. All right. What was your best experience out there? What did you think? During the ride or something?
Best experience, really, on ramp is getting to the end.
Thank God it's over, kind
yes,
of thing.
Exactly.
And, yeah. It's a long ride.
It is. Yeah. It's not a pleasure ride.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's an endurance ride for sure.
And you're one of the fastest. Were you the fastest, or did you set some records too?
Yeah, I have the women's transcontinental record.
Woohoo!
Yeah, yeah, and it's been there since 1995.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nobody's come close.
No, no one's even come close. Yeah.
Wow. And what was the time?
9 days, 4 hours.
9 days, sweet.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Any sponsors? Anybody you want to thank for?
Well,
your
of course, Bianchi. Bianchi always provides bikes,
okay.
And Metrex provided nutrition during those rides.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and those were my main sponsors.
Yep. You're on your Celeste Bianchi here. She's got a Celeste green Bianchi for those of you.
Here.
Bright
yeah.
fluorescent green Metrex. For those of you on radio, you can't see this, so I have to describe it.
Yeah.
But all
so,
right.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that next year will be my 20th anniversary. Of my first Ram, so
oh, okay.
So if I do it again, next year would be
the 20th.
Good year. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm considering it,
look
but
forward
I,
to that.
I tore my MCL in February, so we'll just see how it all goes.
You got time.
I got time, yeah. So
well, good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So is this I assume a year round endeavor for you to organize this race every year?
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely it is. It's in fact our contrary to popular perception, the busiest time for us is the month after the race, because that's when we need to lock in the start finish venues, banquet facilities for the next year. We go over every single aspect of the race. We usually come up with a list of around 150 200 little tiny things, ways to improve the race. We roll those into the plan for next year. We close out our financial year on June 30th, and so we're in and looking at all the financial aspects of the race as well, dissecting that, finding ways to improve things, way to get more out of our invested dollar so that the rider experience is better and we can give them a better experience for the least expensive way to do it. Just all kinds of things. We go through the officials. We have 15, 20 teams of race officials. We go through each of the officials and their, how they, the job they did on the race. The start, the finish, the race headquarters, the banquets, the food, every little detail of it, we go back through it.
And so I guess, just like I'd ask a rider, why do you want to ride the Race Across America? Why do you want to organize the Race Across America?
Well, I mean, the big thing is all of us who actually work in the home office have either raced, crewed, or participated in this race in some fashion or another. And once you do this, I mean, you do it, most people, you do it once. It's you get hooked on it. And the idea is to make it, better and better and better. It becomes a passion of how to put on, make it improve every year to make the race better. It's like racing. When I raced this race, I raced it on a two-person team. I raced it solo, but the last 250 miles as a racer coming into the finish, all I could think about was how I could do it better, where I could shave time off as a racer, how to improve my, my stops, how to just, better nutrition, all the crazy little things. And as a race organizer, it's the same thing. What I want is every single person that races this race to come away saying, that is the most awesome experience I've ever had in my life. That is what you're striving for.
It was tough to come back, but now we are very happy that everything was good, and we hope that we can make the ramp next year.
Friday morning in Utah's Monument Valley, Kathy Roach Wallace's support crew was helping keep her going. Wallace's biggest problem, a sore rear end. Beyond the behind, Tom Wallace's biggest concern was just getting to Durango before Saturday at 6 a.m.
I think we're far enough ahead of her schedule that we're going to make it easily. 6 o'clock cutoff there. We have plenty of time. We only have 150
miles to do in 18
hours. In 18 hours, so that's easily doable.
Friday evening, Marco Bello made his way up Colorado's Wolf Creek Pass. At the top, he sat with each foot on a side of the Continental Divide, preparing for a chilly descent. Bello was behind lead rider Christoph Strasser.
There we go. Bikesport Radio's here at the Ram Start in Oceanside with some of the supporters of Ram. I'm here with Hertz Rental Car, and you're...
I'm Oscar Luetta. I'm
Oscar?
The Director of Social Marketing for Hertz Neverlost.
Great. Thanks for coming out. Tell us about Hertz and what you guys do for Ram and what you can do for anybody in general.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, everybody knows about Hertz, and Hertz Neverlost is a navigation system that you can rent in a Hertz vehicle. And what we're promoting is the GPS system. Basically we have all of the time stations available at neverlost.com where you can plan a trip, and we're just here to shake hands and meet everyone out here.
Very good, very good. Will you be in the finish?
So just want to direct your attention.
Here comes our announcer right now.
The Ram store, which is located right...
We'll be right back on Bikesport Radio.
We have one...
All right, we're back here with Oscar at Hertz, and we're talking about Hertz Rental Services. So tell us more.
Yeah, so again, once you get your Hertz car, we want you to rent the Hertz Neverlost GPS system. And one of the things that you have in your hand is the free USB thumb drive. And if you go to neverlost.com, you can actually save your whole trip to the thumb drive, and then when you get to your car, you just plug it into the GPS device,
nice.
And you have all your destinations available to you. So the other great thing is our new vehicles, we have wireless, so you can actually go in and type in code RAAM, and it'll wirelessly download the trip straight to your GPS
device. Oh. So you recommend, so if you're crewing and stuff, you might want to rent a Hertz. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you're visiting the area, for example, if you were in San Diego, if you type in S-A-N-D, it'll pull all the museums, all the great things to do in San Diego. So very cool technology.
Nice, very nice. I see neverlost.com for that technology on
the
GPS.
Yeah, and actually one of the big things, if you notice there, this 800 number. And the great thing that we offer that nobody else does is we offer real-time support. So you call our people, and if you need to find a destination or you need a little help, they're very happy to help you guys. They'll even plan a trip for you and send it out to you.
All right, very good. 1-800-823-2547, neverlost.com, and is it the Hertz?
Yeah, we're Hertz Never Lost, navigation sponsor for Race Across America.
Great. Thanks a lot, Oscar.
Thank you very much.
International participation. That's one thing that I...
We're listening to John Marino.
The event now, we get a lot of international clients. The event is becoming more global. Times get faster. The field gets faster. The field gets better. Everybody's getting better. I think that's the direction it goes.
That's great. Awesome job.
Okay.
Yeah, I completely agree with the whole mind over matter thing. Do you have any of that documented? Any of your theories on that, a book or anything? The whole energy follows. I'd love to look into that.
The theory, well, the course that I was taking, it was called the Auto-Generational Acquisition Theory, put on by a guy named Gordon Smith. And it was his theory on how to learn, on how you learn. And he mimicked it on how a baby learns, you know, and he went into the certain processes where somebody can master the language in the first 4 years of their life. He was a language guy. He had a system that he applied to learning language. He could learn a language within 4 to 6 weeks. And he could learn it to the level of like a 5-year-old. And so that was his thing. And you could apply it to anything you wanted to learn. It involved a tape recorder and repetition, things like that. And so I was applying it. And then he also was he held a record in the military for most push-ups in an hour and a half at one time. And so that appealed to me, and I said, I wonder how I could apply this to, like, cycling. And so I was trying to apply this theory to cycling. And so that was a big motivational tool.
Yeah, I just did the reality track and the Discovery Channel, they dropped 9 of us into the jungle for a month in Venezuela. And we were starving, we barely ate any food, and we were tropical in the jungle, and it was definitely mind over matter for sure. First time in my life where I was like, you know, my body is completely dead, but the only thing keeping me going is the mind.
Yeah.
Great, well, I'll be cheering you on.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Have fun today, definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, John. Brad House. I'm with Bikesport Radio.
Hey, Brad.
We're one of the additional media guys out here talking about bikes, bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. So you're the original, I understand, before Ram.
Before Ram.
And set a record, I think, the first
record.
Yeah,
in 1978.
Nice. Very nice.
Yes.
All right. Started in 1978?
I did my first ride.
The record, yeah.
Yeah, the people have been... The first known transcontinental, I think, was in the 60s, maybe, and then it was a guy, Peter Duker, did it in 60-something, and then he did it like 18 days, and then Paul Cornish took it down to 13 days, 5 hours, and he did it in 73.
Yeah.
And then there had been some...
But I remember they started showing it on TV, like in the 80s.
82 was the first race on TV. Yeah, that was our first race.
I was really into biking, and I probably still am, but crazy. So you know Ray's?
Ray's?
Yeah, wasn't he one of the first ones back then?
What's his name?
Ray's, I thought his name was. Maybe it was.
No? There was a guy named Victor Vincenti of America, a guy named Michael Hiltner, who was a USCF racer. He changed his name to Victor Vincenti of America, and he did a double transcontinental back in those days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was... strange guy.
We're all strange.
Yeah, we're all strange.
Everybody's unique.
Yeah, Victor Vincenti of America.
Wow.
Yeah, I always figured that was the ultimate going across.
Yeah. Oh, Ram is the ultimate. Well, no, this is wonderful out here. All right. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Sure. Bike Sport Radio's here with John Howard now. Hey, John.
Yeah.
We got media, we got video, we got radio, we got everything. So.
What don't we have?
Brad House. I was looking at your bike, John. It's a little bit bigger rim on the back. Is that a bigger rim than the front? To me, it's an optical illusion.
It might be a bigger tire.
Looks like the rim is a little bigger.
Maybe a slightly wider tire.
Oh, okay.
That's the new Durace tubeless.
I saw, yeah. Technology has sort of changed from the first time you rode.
Oh, yeah. What I really like is the DI, too.
Yeah.
That'll spoil in a hurry.
Yep. Smooth stuff.
It's a lot different than downtube ship shifters.
Downtube ship? You mean the kind with a lever where you have to move?
Did you have downtube shifters on the first race?
You're not old enough to know about downtube shifters, are you?
Downtube shifters last year. Always.
Really?
It's not old. It's not about being old. It's about being poor.
All you have to do is shift
the
gears. You just got to make sure you know how to shift the gears.
Yeah.
Or know where you are.
Yeah.
How do you feel with the technology, the differences that you've encountered along the years?
I appreciate the old equipment, and I have a collection of antique bicycles that go back to the 70s. But I don't ride one of them. These are bikes that are used mostly for display. Mostly what I race today are high-tech equipment, like we all do. If you want to be competitive, you pretty much have to ride carbon, and you have to have the latest trick stuff.
Besides the equipment, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the years?
Oh, aero handlebars have helped tremendously. Look at the times and how the times have changed. It's clear that the equipment has made most of the difference.
The other men were saying that nutrition also is a big difference.
Well, eating correctly in 82, we really didn't have a clue. We were eating sporadically. After a while, you start craving sugar and then you crave salt. So those are the two balance points. You go from one extreme to the other. I try to eat right, but toward the end of the race, you're grabbing whatever is available. Hamburgers, you're burning so many calories that your body just requires an exceptional amount of food. I don't think I'd eat as much since 1982 as I did during that first race across America.
What was one of the worst things that you had to eat out of desperation?
That has been 30 years ago, so I'm not sure I can remember everything we ate. I was hallucinating anyway at that point. So I remember some hot dogs and hamburgers that tasted pretty good, even though I don't eat those today. But at the time, I just remember they felt very nourishing.
Tell me more about those hallucinations.
Well, if I do, you're going to think I'm certifiably crazy. But I can remember things that weren't there. And the most pronounced of all happened in the Appalachians about 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember this like it was yesterday. You could get cold chills thinking about it. There was a dog, I think it was a retriever, that nuzzled my leg while I was standing, leaning up against the motorhome at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was a great fog across the road. And I stopped because I couldn't see the descent. And it was scary because I was tired. But rather than sleep, I just kind of leaned against the motorhome for a while. And this dog came up and was nuzzling my lower leg. So I blinked my eyes and the dog was laying down. And I remember I blinked a third time and there was a pile of bones, dog bones, presumably, right down at that point. So that's when I knew it was time to get some real sleep. And I think I gave up another hour to Lon at that point. I pushed down to about 10 hours behind him, and then I gave up another hour because I figured if I get back on my bike, I'm probably not going to get to the end of this race. And I remember that one. That was the last of about four very memorable missions.
What a... That's intense. I like it.
Top that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, when you can feel that, when you can feel the cold, wet snout, that's pretty realistic.
Wow.
So what keeps you going when you realize that you're out of your mind and seeing dogs that don't exist? Why get back on your bike?
Well, I think we all have this goal of finishing this thing. And fortunately, all four of us did. But my thought was that no matter what happens, I'm going to finish. And I know I got slower every day. It took me longer to get back in the saddle and longer. The slowdown was very obvious after two or three days, you know, a mile an hour or so every day. But just realizing this is the inaugural event. Who knows where it's going to go? I don't want to drop out because that's really going to look bad. So I'm just thankful that all four of the original founders finished. But it was an experiment. I told my crew, you're going to see me at my best and certainly my worst. They all agreed that I was right. It was over.
So what do you think now of the fact that it's going on for 3 years and it's so... Well, now instead of four riders, there's 50.
Yeah, I don't think any of us could have predicted this. We just wanted to finish. We just wanted to get it done. I don't think any of us had any thoughts about where the future lies. It was simply a matter of us finishing and finishing healthy. We managed to do that. So the rest has just sort of evolved.
What do you think is the draw to the sport? Why do you think there are so many people now than there were before?
Well, the whole endurance cycling, I think the whole display of human energy was in the process of changing. Everybody was looking to go beyond where they were, but sports science was in a very primitive state in the 80s. We had no clue. I brought a doctor on board just so he could monitor us and make sure we didn't die out there, because nobody really knew what to expect. Lose 10% of your body weight, and we thought we could probably expire with that. So I just think that there were a lot of unknowns at the time. Now, we were pioneers. I can remember doing Ironman the year before. I won Ironman. And they stopped us every 3 or 4 hours to weigh us to make sure we hadn't lost too much weight, because we really thought that if we did, we might die. Today, we know that the human body is capable of far more than that. But at the time, we were literally on the forefront of endurance sports. So I think people just were looking to push themselves in many different arenas. Ironman is now still certainly a standard, but there are triple Ironmans. There are double crossings of America. So I don't think there are any limits to what human energy is capable of. It was the forefront of endurance athletics, 1980.
So when are you doing your first triple iron then?
I'm done with all that. I don't do those anymore. I just enjoy cracking the whip as a coach. That's my focus right now. And I've got one person, Dan Christensen, who's out there right now
in
second place. She's got a great attitude.
She's amazing. I put on a century last year and she came and crewed for me.
Is that right?
She's such a nice person.
She is.
Yeah, I saw her and I was like, oh my, I've never met her before she came to the race. And I was like, oh my God, she does ram. She's terrifying to look at. She's very intimidating.
Yeah. Well, that intimidation factor goes both ways, you know. So, yeah, it's good. I'm glad she's out there and we're following her progress.
Yeah, and what are you looking forward to I hear that you are the most competitive and that you're going to beat the crap out of everyone at the 508.
Well, that depends on my three teammates.
It's no, you're going to beat the crap out of them, too.
If you do that, probably you're going to piss off everybody. My thought as a team rider is you want to finish as fast as you can. And, I look at every event like that as a race. Hopefully the other three of us will be in the same position to be able to go fast, because that to me is a challenge. I want to go as fast as we possibly can.
Do you know what leg you're going to do?
Probably a couple of legs.
Do you know which ones?
They say the fourth one is the hardest, and maybe the last one, the eighth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would probably do those two.
What are you looking forward to during that race?
Having never done it before, I could only speculate. I just want to be in as prime condition as possible and be able to stay on my bike for a while. My problem now is low back issues. Sitting on the saddle for, say, more than 4 hours is not easy. Well, I can still go fast, but I have a lot more issues now that I've got in, so I got to be careful.
Well, I'm sure you guys will do well. I'm looking forward to watching you guys race that.
Just need to get the logistics figured out and be there.
Oh yeah, that's the question. Which one of the four have you aimed the best?
I don't know about that. I mean, there's mind, there's body aging. I don't, I haven't been closely in touch with Bob or John or Mike. I have no idea, so I can only speak for myself. I try to stay in shape. I'm exactly the same weight I was in 82. And body fat is probably a little bit less than that. So as far as speaking for myself, I feel physically like I'm in pretty good shape.
They all said that too.
They all said that you were hard.
But you know, the thing that none of us really know is what's going to happen in the next 20 or 30 years.
Right. With the sport in general?
Yeah. Where's it going to go? I'd like to be out here in another 25 or 30. Me, it's all about longevity. Not just doing Race Across America, but being able to use the bike as a means of therapy. That's all I look at these days. It's keeping me alive, keeping me healthy. What else is there? It's gone way past the point of being competitive. It's a life support system. All right, thanks.
John Howard on Bike Sport Radio.
After the first year, we didn't even know if there'd be a second race. And then ABC did. They aired the broadcast. Won an Emmy Award and got a fantastic rating. So they called us and said, we want to do it again. And so I said, all right, we'll do it again. I mean, we all wanted to do it again. Sponsorship and all that stuff. So that's what we've been able to do. And we changed the name because the lawyer who helped us organize the first year incorporated the Great American Bike Race name. Without our names on the corporation papers. Now, mind you, we were young in our early 20s, and he said, trust me, I'm a lawyer. But I didn't know what that meant. Now I do. Don't worry, half of you guys are not racing anymore, and there's no public of interest that you can be on the paperwork. Anyway, so when ABC called us and said, well, we want to do it again, but you can't have that agent guy because he's a disaster. And we said, well, we have to because we signed these papers. And it's a Great American Bike Race. And I said, we don't care what you call it. We just want to film you guys racing. So we said, oh, you think we can just change the name? I said, yeah. So we did. Race Across America. That's where that came from.
Did you think that it would ever get as popular as it is? Not just Race Across America, but all just like...
I always thought the solo would be small in number. So when we started the relay team in 89, I thought that's the future of the race, is regular people.
Sorry. Yeah, wash that down with some coffee.
I had a cold on a book tour last week.
With all your skeptics?
I have a new book out called Believing Rain. It came out 2 weeks ago. So I got number 31 in the nation on Amazon, number one nonfiction book for 2 days. So that was good. And so I just finished a big book tour. So now I'm really out of shape. It's hard to ride when you're touring.
Do you have any other questions? I can't remember anything. Who's going to do the best of 508?
Oh, Howard, for sure. He's our anchor. He could be completely out of shape and still be faster than me. He's fast. So, he's our man. He's the anchor. And we're just there to crew for him, basically.
Most memorable moment from Ram? You have just one?
I guess probably the most memorable moment for me was finishing the first time. Because I didn't actually know if I could do it. I'd ridden 1,400 miles, but that's over Kansas. You're not even halfway. So when I crossed the George Washington Bridge, the sun was coming up in New York. It's like, oh my God, I actually made it. And they were on Fifth Avenue, you know, going down to the Empire State Building. And wow, there it is. And I just couldn't believe it. Just like, I did it. Yeah, because for hundreds of miles before, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I really don't know. You know, there was some, this happens to all the Ram riders. You get up in the morning, you're just like, I can't go on. That's it. It's over. And then it's like the crew's like, well, come on, just ride like a mile, and then you can stop. All right. So you sort of get on the bike, you're like, okay, I'm going to quit. And you're like, hey, actually, I'm feeling pretty, I'll go another mile. And then, you know, half an hour later, you're just, I don't know what I was thinking. Let's see, you know. And that happens to a lot of the Ram riders, it turns out. They want to quit a bunch of times, and then they just keep feel better. It's amazing how resilient the body is.
What do you think it is that pushes people to keep going?
I guess it's the internal challenge. I don't think Ram's about winning the race. It's about, it's more like doing Everest or something like that. It's a finishing thing. I did it. That's it. That's the most important thing. I mean, you know, some of the guys, you know, if they don't win, they're disappointed. But ultimately, I think most of them just want to finish.
Okay, they're on their way down here.
Oh, yeah. Which one of the four do you think aged the best?
Do you want to go check in with them?
He likes playing it.
He does.
He's a little younger.
So is there still competition between the four of you, or is there going to be any fights
we'll
in the van?
Yeah, I know. It's like, just don't really fuck up. Yeah. It
really gives me the
pressure's on.
You're going to have to do your whole stage.
Oh, no, I would just die. I would just crawl in a hole if that happened. I just do not want to do that. Yeah, no, we got.
I don't think there are a bunch of.
I'm gonna train. Hard. I'm gonna be ready.
I'll take it up the road.
If not, they're gonna beat the crap out of you in that.
I know. No, I am. So, yeah, it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to
being done with it. Actually, yeah. I want to go first and get it over with. Like, okay, I'm done now. I can relax.
Do the second stage. It's the best.
The second one is.
Yeah, second and then the fifth. It's the easiest.
All right. I'll see if that Marino can go first. I'll go second.
It's really good. That's the one I did. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was Michael Shermer chatting at the start of this year's Ram, the 30th anniversary. We've got some starts going off here from the announcer at Ram, and more action from Ram at the start line last week.
Get ready. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. And there he goes, folks. This is Ram.
Marino.
Our first athlete is coming out here today. He's going to be on the first line stage. And Ken, Kevin, with you. Standing on the starting platform. That's very easy. Come on, we've got a little music going here. Let's see. Yeah, that was pretty simple. I can put it inside.
Hi,
Next, Michael Shermer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There he goes, right there.
Texas Flyboys. This is for you, Brenda. Listen.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Texas Fly Boys.
Woo!
What's up is next?
Texas Fly Boys.
All right, females are Graham Hallward, Diana Loco, Janet Wilson, and Julian Evans. We're at it, the Canadians from Canada. Wow. One man is to America, you're Canadians from Canada. I'm just saying. He's led by Peter Euler, two-time Ram solo rider who invites these guys to do wrong. Peter Gracie solo wrong. Santa Clarita race Ram in 2012.
Solo.
We're breaking it down Canadian style. Oh, by the way, that pink kid I wore on the Sunday ride is
Team Canada. No, they just did the celebrity.
There it is. Got stopped. We're going to get the 10 count. Go Graham. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hand it off. All right, next is Tim Graham.
This man knows what it means this summer. He's getting out there. Peter, we're good to, glad to have you this year. We'll give you a 10 count in just a moment. 10, 9,
Peter Euler,
7, 6,
from Canada,
5,
start line.
4, 3, 2, 1. Go get him, man. All right, David Glade coming up representing the United States. As he came up earlier, he said, I'm race number R112. I'm going off at 12-12. That's got to be good luck. Well, Tim. Oh, David, there you go. Team Gladiator. Gladiator. What are you, Florida? The Everglades? All right, David Glade over there doing a great job. 51 for the United States. Feeding America. That's his charity to bring awareness to the problem of hunger in our own country. Amen, brothers and sisters. We keep shipping stuff overseas. Let's take care of them right here in our own country. All right, 1 in 6 Americans not having enough food is a real issue. So he's a double Ironman finisher, plans to do a triple Ironman this year. And there we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and he's off. Go get him, Gladiator. Oh. Oh, boy. I'm so glad you came up. That really helps. This is food. This
Hello.
Visual Suit. Next rider.
So here we go. This is Visual Suit Foundation. Chris Malloy, solo rock, 58 years young, represented the United States of America.
Riding a recumbent bike.
The Visual Suit Foundation is a non-existent organization dedicated to helping those who must live with people who can't be serious for 2 seconds. I'm a member! Well, actually, anybody in my life is a member. Visual Suit is an uncontrollable urge to tell ridiculous or inappropriate jokes, which the victims find endlessly amusing. Well, there you go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The joke's on you. Go get him, Visual Suit. I'm on the team, Visual Suit. There you go. Tim Richardson right there representing the United Kingdom. Solo Raw, 46 years young. Charity is Help for Heroes, Purple Salute, and Cancer Research because it matters. And he's right. It does. Has a race Ram in 2012, and Raw is the perfect opportunity to learn. To learn how to suffer.
All right, Bike Sport Radio is here, and the announcers.
When he won the original Great American Bike Race.
You hear that? Ron Haldeman is wearing the original helmet that he won, that he wore back in the
year. We also have probably one of the greatest racers in Ram history, Shauna Hogan. Six-time champion, women's record holder, and someone who slayed most of the men's field every time she came out to race across America. Sean, it's awesome to have you here as well. Okay, we're waiting for Michael Shermer. This is just a fun ride. We want you to be able to mix with our legends and stars of the sport. And we're going about 6 miles. Shauna's going to lead us out and show us the way to go. I want to introduce one of our Ram teams that is here. We're very fortunate to have the team 4Mil. Let's hear it for 4Mil. They're racing 8-person on Saturday. They've got a lot of lofty goals, and they may not talk smack, but I'm going to do it for you. They're out here to set a new record. They are one of the most organized teams I've ever seen in the history of Ram, and we're really expecting some good things out of you guys. They're racing for the Wounded Warrior Project. So very much an honor to have you out here as well. Sean English. Probably the most beautifully attired rider. It's going to be our race announcer as soon as we hand it over to the pro this afternoon.
Shermer's on his way up here.
Shermer's on his way.
He's not wearing his helmet.
Michael Shermer is attired much the way he was in 1982, riding without a helmet. About all Michael's missing is his beard. We were going to get him a fake one, but it just fell through. I want to thank our volunteers this morning who have been working their behinds off since about 5:30 to get the fencing, our stage, ramp is going to be up, our banner. Let's give those guys a big hand. Thank you very much. And if we could all line up out here and get started. If I'd started you on time, it's 9:08, I think you'd be done by now. Sir in the red jersey dropped a glove. As none of you have signed a release, this ride has absolutely nothing to do with the Race Across America. We are affiliated in no way whatsoever. I have no idea why these four guys are wearing jerseys that say Ram on them. And if we're all ready, let's go ahead and get underway. Thanks so much for coming out this morning. We'll see you in a bit.
Start up off the back.
All right. Michael Shermer, Ron Haldeman.
I'm going to lose those glasses.
Some of the originals out here on Bike Sport Radio. Bike Sport Radio is here with more movers and shakers and supporters of Ram. I'm here with the FRS tent and Seth. Tell us about FRS.
FRS is an all-natural, healthy performance product. It's packed with vitamins and antioxidants.
and it's just great for you. Tastes great, and got a lot of good feedback.
Oh, yeah, yeah, all right. We'll get a chance to taste it here shortly. And FR stands for something, right? Is it a scavenger? Free?
Yeah, it stands for free radical scavenger.
Free radical scavenger, okay.
Yeah, it's another name for an antioxidant.
Right, right. Free radicals are the stuff that gets in your blood. That's bad stuff, right?
Kill cells, so we're there to fix them back up.
So the scavenger takes them out. Right on, right on. You got all kinds of products, too. You've got liquid, you've got...
I've got chews, I've got powders, I've got drinks, we've got it all.
So this is a powder that you mix into water.
Correct.
Okay, and then there's chews that you can chew while you're on the bike and everything. Okay. And how many of your riders out here you think use the product? And you have other riders who support other events, I guess, that
you know, it's mixed. We've had a lot of people that have heard about it in the past and who continue to use it, which is always great. And they come up and tell us in the hundreds. And then we've got some who've never heard of it and try it and love it and promise to use it. And
cool.
Yeah.
See, Brooke Hansen, volleyball player, she's using it. And Chris Hoff, triathlete and Olympic swimmer. Right,
yeah,
on.
And we don't pay any of these people to advertise
endorse
our product. They're all users, and they've come to us with their
very good
with their stories, and it's awesome.
Very good. Now, the active ingredient is, looks like it's, how do you pronounce that, quercetin?
Yeah, it's pronounced quercetin.
Quercetin.
Uh-huh. Okay. You find it in a lot of your fruits and vegetables. It comes from the skins of apples and red onions, and it's, you know, it's just packed with antioxidants. It's great for you.
Alright, very good. And how do we find out more about your products if we want to find out where to buy it and what it's about?
You can check out FRS.com. There's a store locator on there, so you just punch in your zip code and all the little dots will pop up around your neighborhood.
Alright, very simple. FRS.com. Alright, thanks a lot, Seth.
Great, thanks. Thanks.
The usual suspects have found the front.
This is Jen Reither with Bike Sport Radio. It's Sunday afternoon in the hot St. Francis Tulsa Tough. Today's Sunday, stage 3, and I'm out here at Crybaby Hill for the final stage. We're at the women's pro race, looking at about 20 minutes to go, and we're down from 60 riders to just over 20 riders. You hear Dave Toll in the background here. We got a preem going to the start-finish line. $500 preem, and I'm going to let Dave announce this from here.
Preem on the next lap, preem on the next lap. $500 crowd preem on the next lap.
So the field is limited to a handful of MS Society Now ladies, a couple of Primal Map My Ride, a Vander Kitten. I'm looking at Carrie Cash from Revolution Cycles, and a handful of others. So we're down to about 25 riders for the $500 preem. Stage 3, Tulsa Tough.
That's Robin Farina, Corey Seehofer, Emily Kajorik, Liza Ricchetto. They're all there. Debbie Milne had a great ride. Debbie Milne from Mississippi up there right now. What a sight. What an energy. What a vibe they've got on that hill. And they are now on the gas up over this riser. They're not quite done. That little girl almost looks scared, doesn't she? She's like, what is going on here? Give me some ice cream. Nice call. When things get weird, I get some ice cream. That's Jen McRae. She's that's Devin Corey, the rider on the front right now. They're obviously trying to bring Farina up, set Farina up for this one. Robin is probably one of the more versatile riders here. $500 crowd preem. That's money raised here throughout the afternoon to support our women racers. And there's crowd preem coming your way right now. They've got 9 on that counter. That's the riders are seeing right now. Watch for that lead moto around the final bend.
Here they come down the hill on the final bend off camber, left turn. It's been taking out a lot of riders today. $500 preem at the line.
Face is finding the front here. $500 absolutely pays for the trip. And a sprint all the way up on the inside. It is Robin Farina.
Nice,
Farina,
Robin.
Just taking that from Carrie Cash Wooten. And let's see what kind of damage has been done now. There's Jen Purcell on the front of the group. Other riders realizing this is a danger moment.
All right, we got 9 to go. 25 riders, everybody still together. I'm going to go up to Crybaby Hill and see what kind of action we got
Robin
going there.
Farina picks up that 5 strong women.
Okay. Here I am. Just hooked it up. Crybaby Hill, as you can hear, I'm out of breath up here because it is quite the hill that makes you cry. again, stage three of the Tulsa St. Francis Tulsa Tough in the women's pro field. Six laps remaining. You're down to a field of about 25 riders. These girls are definitely getting tired. It's about 95 degrees out here. We've got people on Crybaby Hill with poses and beers and cameras and Rangers with hot shorts and cowboy boots and pink hats. It's just crazy out here. The ladies go from like about, they had a full lane, now they're about to a quarter of a lane to race in. So here's the lead moto, and I'll give you some announcements here. We got Primal, That My Ride. Now I see Mellow Mushroom, Vanderkin, Peanut Butter Co. 2012, and Primal Rose Bella, or Primal Rose Bandit. That's awesome. All right. Six laps to go.
Gotta believe it.
Looks like Jen McGrace. Jen McGrace is still in there. She's a potential win for this race. Six laps to go.
Race now.
Okay. Here we are. Ann Sampolonius is off the front with one lap to go. She's got an 11-second lead. Now, she might get caught, but this is an excellent setup for Goki Smith, who's their sprinter on their field, who's still in it. Devin Haskell has been on the front drilling it until Ann attacked. So, Ann is coming down the hill, and she's going to see one lap to go still with a 10-second lead. Here comes the pack charging, and I'm going to let Dave Toll take it from here on out. Stage three, St. Francis, Tulsa Top.
Going back to that final corner, and ouch. That's what you call losing your contact patch with the rear wheel.
Well, right now, what Dave was reviewing is that this last turn is an off camber, like a 9,500 degree right turn, and so a lot of crashes in that corner. But here we are, one to go.
The advantage has gone way up for Sampolonius. It was 11 seconds one lap ago, and now your classic Mexican standoff takes place. Sometimes when you're at your limit, the gap has gone up to 17 seconds, and Sampolonius is benefiting from a lack of cooperation from the peloton. It's hard to imagine how Ann Sampolonius does not win this race today.
Hey. Yeah, Ann's got this. The girls are just now hitting the hill, and Ann's almost all the way to the top. People here. Lots of water flowing, lots of sparkling refreshment.
Here she comes.
Sippy cups with straws. This looks like Ann's race. She's coming down to the final turn.
Now for the final time. She's done it. That big gap, the pan back there from Sampolonius shows us that the gap has grown. Edition of Tulsa Tough. And Ann Sampolonius will win today, but ultimately, I think anybody can finish this bike race is your winner. So Sampolonius, the Canadian, delivers the goods for Now MS Society.
Now MS Society. Society. This is their first big NRC. They put this team together. I believe they just did a press announcement 2 weeks ago. So that's pretty nice for them to come out and get a second on the stage one and a win today out in stage three. St. Francis Tulsa Tough. Excellent for MS Now. All right, and that concludes the St. Francis Tulsa Tough for the Women's Pro. More later, Bike Sport Radio. The Men's Pro starts at 4:30.
That was a good lap for the breakaway.
All right, Jim Reifner, Bike Sport Radio. I'm out here at stage three of the St. Francis Tulsa Tough in the Men's Pro race. So there's four laps to go.
You see,
you can hear Dave Toll, 20-second gap with two guys up the front.
Shelly Belly trying to do damage control.
Off the front is Jameis Sunderholm and Arrowcat Racing. And I'm sure that Dave Toll is going to announce some more of what's going on. I'm out here at Crybaby Hill. Tulsa Tough, I'm going to let Dave Toll take it away for four to go.
Down to three to go. And that means that we've got right now 5 minutes of racing left. 5 minutes. We'll have this one done and dusted here in Tulsa. And then we can all go enjoy the Drunkard and the Oleo.
So definitely, man, this pack is shredding with four to go.
What if they do a group discount? Ticket purchase. Sure.
People out here at Crybaby Hill, they've been out here since 7 a.m.
In here, yes?
In the hot sun. It's cooled down about 85 now. Sprayed down every lap. About 25 men left in this race.
And there's your lead moto. We'll be showing a two on that counter.
It's amazing how fast these guys
are. Two on that counter.
Turning these laps, man.
Three
I think it's
go.
Been 18
right.
mile an hour average.
Three to go, gentlemen. Three to go.
So many crazy people out here at Crybaby Hill. We got people dressed in Indian outfits and flowered t-shirts and bikinis and just absolute craziness out here. These people are total fans out here for Crybaby Hill.
And can go supernova out here. That's what they're trying to do. You're at three to go, guys. Three to go. The gap remains the same. The gap has not changed in two laps. So we show three to go on that counter. Three Jelly Bellies on the front, then John Cantwell, then Rahsaan Bahati. That really is, that's quite the powerhouse group that you're looking at, but they're all going to need to throw it out. And a Barajo brother, Annabelle
wow.
Barajo, riding shotgun for
his brother. Sutter Holm just attacking the pack. Jelly Belly still on the front.
Been in this breakaway for quite a while now.
Drag race on the finish line, just dead flat, and then you do a right turn in about a 12% one block, and then you right turn to about a 7% hill as you. So after you get out of the main hill at 12%, that's one block. You got to turn right and go up a 6% hill for one block, and that's where things get pretty tight. With it is a full lane, but then with all the crowd and the craziness going on Crybaby, the guys have maybe a quarter lane to be able to race in, and this course definitely just shreds the pack. I think 100 men started. Like I said, there's about 25 men left. Absolute craziness.
Don't have it in the bag, but it's their race to lose. The advantage remains 20 seconds.
They actually got patrol out here to control the crowd and push them out to the side so the guys can actually race their bikes. I mean, the guys have been, when they sprint and they come around the field, they've been almost running into people. It's been just craziness. And the pro men have been really awesome with this crowd out here. I think that they love it. It's the best kind of Euro-style racing you'll get. The fans here are awesome.
You look at Sean. Basic on the front once again. He's burying himself for his team leader, Ken Hansen and Brad Huff at this point. You got the feeling they're all in for Hansen. The Barajo Huff.
So there is a Jameis Sutter home guy trying to bridge to the leaders. not sure if he'll do it because Jelly Belly is driving to bring it back.
The Barajo brother that we've got, Alejandro, was last year the number one rider in North America based on races like this. This is an NRC race, the National Racing Calendar. Well, there's a collection of about 24 of these races throughout the year, and he tallied the most points in 2010 to be our National Racing Calendar champion.
Again, this hill, shredding riders, two more just dropped off the pack.
He is a legitimate heavy hitter. Now, his brother Annabelle has been right there with him. They've worked together to lead out some sprinting technique where one rider will give a drop to another and slingshot him in the final few meters to the line. These two execute at a very high level. But if Alejandro Barajo can win this race, we'll have to look back through the points to see if he'll move into the overall lead. It's going to be very, very close because both Ken Hansen... He's going to be in better shape because he's got a second and a second already, where they have a first and a fourth. You do the math, and they're through at one to go. One to go, 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 one to go. One to go. This is what it's down to.
Oh, no. A crash at the start-finish. Come on.
Well, clearly now it's Barajo all the way. And Juan Pablo Dolce, this might be the time that
holy smokes, man. These guys would just kill them. These 1-2.
Right now.
Just now that's seeing the group coming up. MSL on the front drilling it.
Saying enough is enough.
I think Jelly Belly wants a podium here.
Riders laying all over Tulsa when this one is finished. Well, and another crash on Crybaby, a major crash uphill on Crybaby Hill. That's unprecedented, certainly. I sure hope that wasn't spectator involved.
No, it wasn't spectator involved at all. One guy just moved. They were really grouped together.
Now,
just a domino effect.
Assassin Alejandro Barajo is looking to win the stage and the day. The group, though, is right behind him. It is actually not over. The group is coming.
Wow, I cannot believe how quickly the group just pulled that gap in.
The final corner. The gap is probably just large enough. There they are. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. The peloton sweeps around the corner. But it will be Alejandro Barajo! Barajo for the win! This is where it matters! Hansen, Ben Cantwell! Okay, this is beyond me now. We're crunching numbers, guys, because this is going to be as close of an Omnium scoring as we have seen in a long, long time. You've got Ken Hansen with one win and a fourth. You've got Cantwell with a win and a fourth. And you've got Barajo, well, Barajo has to win. With a second, and a first. Let's go back and take another look on the big screen. Good job, you got it, Tyler. You got it, buddy. So Tyler ran on that Jameis Sutter home team. But if he could see the big screen, he would see his teammate winning today, Alejandro Barajo of Jameis Sutter home. Now, he and Juan Pablo Dolce obviously had an understanding there because that was great teamwork. I wouldn't be too surprised to see Juan Pablo Dolce riding for Jameis Sutter home next year. I'll put it that way. Amazing job out there, gentlemen.
Well, awesome day.
Good job, Pat.
Awesome day. And that rounds up St. Francis Tulsa Tusk 2011. We're out. Jen Reither, Bike Sport Radio.
45. All right, here we got the finish. Wow. All right, thanks, Gen X. In Tulsa, at the Tulsa Tough, reporting on the Tulsa Tough. Coming up now, we've got some sounds from San Pedro. San Pedro Grand Prix held yesterday, the Father's Day San Pedro Grand Prix, including an interview with the Masters 35-plus winner, John Wyke. So enjoy the San Pedro Grand Prix sounds. Coming up next.
45.
All right, here we got the finish of the Masters 45s.
DeWalt
Racing.
Alan Flores.
Picking up the win in that breakaway.
Alan Flores.
Masters 45.
One lap to go. The build lap has begun.
One lap to go.
One lap to go.
Whoosh! As you hear him whizzing by.
One lap to go, Cat 3. Website development.
All right, here they are. Category 3. Finish.
They can have a shot at the finish. These are banging elbows. Yeah, the lights are stretching. Heads are popping. Captains are rocking. Moving the champion, San Pedro, on Harbor Boulevard for 2011. Congratulations. You got it. 1-1-5. The unofficial winner today, Robbie Miranda. Robbie Miranda, our unofficial champion. Happy Father's Day, Robbie. The champion, 2011 San Pedro Grand Prix, Cat 3. The bell lap has begun.
Masters 35, two riders off the front with about a 10 bike gap length. That's it. At one lap to go. John Wyke and Chris McDonald off the front. Two-man breakaway at one lap to go. San Pedro Grand Prix.
We had the Yum Yum donut truck go by.
Ralph talking about the donuts. And the women's Cat 3-4s are on the course. Here they come down Harbor Boulevard with seven laps to go. And now MS Society Julie Guthrie picking up a few preams in the last few laps. She's still right in the front, right strong this year at the San Pedro Grand Prix. And let's see what Ralph has to say as the women's Cat 3s come by at six laps to go.
Women Cat 3-4, six laps to go. Back up on 279. On the front, Amy Burke of Catalyst Racing.
Is Ralph going to want to do a podium for the
women 3-4?
That's right. Women's 3-4 sprint time, and this is the category 3s and 4s finishing up. I see Julie Guthrie.
Women's 3-4 driving to the finish line. Who's going to win? Father's Day, San Pedro Grand Prix 2011. She's got 2.76, our unofficial winner. Congratulations to Holly Beck. Holly Beck from the cycling team,
nipping
our women's unofficial winner today,
Julie Guthrie at the line. Julie Guthrie unofficially second place. Women's Cat 3-4.
Amy, bring them all in. The course is up for a lap of warm up.
Okay, they're rounding the final turn now. The Masters 35 getting ready for the final sprint here. Ralph's going to call it.
And who's going to be the champion? Congratulations. Yeah. The homeboy, home team, Ironfly.com, able to win 2011 San Pedro Grand Prix. Congratulations, 35 plus. Happy Father's Day. John White on his bike, winning for Ironfly at 35 plus. Well, that'll make it all worthwhile, Ironfly. Congratulations. Great ride, John.
Bike Sports Radio is here with the winner of the Masters 35, John Wyke, riding for your host club, Ironfly. Congratulations, John. You're off the front with, what was his name?
Yeah, I think his name was Chris.
Yeah, Chris McDonald.
Chris McDonald,
you were off the
MRI.
Front.
Yeah, we were in a break of about seven, and going with two to go, and another group had caught us. And one of the guys in the group was my teammate, Kevin Phillips. Immediately when Kevin spoke to me, I attacked, and so I caught him by surprise. Everybody just kind of sat up, and I seized the moment and attacked on the backside, going in with one and a half to go. So one other guy caught me. I noticed I was dropping Chris on the descent through the corner.
Uh-huh.
So I figured that would be a good spot to attack on the last lap if we were still away.
Nice.
Sure enough, we were. We were kind of working together, and he was stopped pulling on the top end. He's like, "Look, go ahead. You're gonna drop me on the descent anyway."
Wow.
So sure enough, that's I called him out, and that's what I did. I dropped him on a descent going through the corner. I pretty much attacked out of that corner, 53-11,
the
whole straightaway.
Uphill headwind and everything, yeah. Put the hurt on him.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful win. Off the front solo, the best way to do it for Ironfly.
Yeah. I can shave my legs. I haven't shaved my legs in 4 years, and I said I wouldn't shave them until I won a race. So.
Wow, yeah, and those of you out in Radio Land, this guy is furry, all right. Congratulations on the race win, John.
Thanks, Brad. Thank you for coming out. Thank you, Ironfly.
All right, so we've got three laps to go. We've got the breakaway group of 10 or 12 or so, and Devin Dunn going solo off the front of the breakaway. And is that him still up the front? Let's see what Ralph has to say about the men's pros at the San Pedro Grand Prix at three laps to go. Three to go.
Three laps to go. Here's the good guys. These are the leaders of the race. 39 and 54. It's Devin Dunn.
Devin's been joined by teammate now, Brian McCulloch. On Devin's team, so he's got help now at three laps to go. Look at this gap. They're continuing to work the gap at three laps to go. All right, there they are. Devin and Brian.
Once again, if they get in there with Neil, so this is all good. Good guys. Tearing up the race. San Pedro on Father's Day with two laps to go. Great run, guys.
Oh, their gap isn't that much. They're shrinking. They're losing a little bit of time on the field. On the breakaway group.
Two laps to go. Two laps to go. The statues. Let's go.
Looks like the breakaway may have been caught.
It's kind of coming together. This is going to be very exciting. Final lap.
They have. Devin Dunn has been caught. They've been caught. It's group all together. Grupo Compacto.
Happy Father's Day. You guys, one lap to go.
13 riders.
On the front of the good guy group, one lap to go.
13 riders in that lead group. And the attacks are throwing down now, right? The breakaway may have been. All right, here we go. 13 guys going for first through 13th. Devin Dunn swallowed up. Cream lap here, men's pros.
You got it, number 10.
Velo Club Lagrange. Brandon Gritters picks up a wool jersey from the Bike Palace.
24 minutes to go,
and I'm sitting here next to the new director of the San Pedro Grand Prix, Mr. Cliff Phillips. How did it go today?
Mark, I think with the exception of the few accidents at the start of the race, we've had a great turnout.
Yeah.
Good rider participation, a lot of excitement, a lot of action, and people seem to have had a good day. We're happy.
That's right. And your son, Kevin Phillips, did two races. He's in his second race, right now, I think.
Yes, and, he is.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Masters.
Masters 35 plus, and the pros are racing right now. And are you tired, even though you didn't race?
Yeah, you should. A little bit.
It's a long day.
A long day. But everyone's done a good job. Great job.
That's right. And you did a great job, too, for your first year at the
San Pedro
Grand Prix.
Brad House is our leader on this go-around, so we appreciate all of your input and all of your hard work.
Ironfly Cycling. All right, way to go.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results, hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones.
If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio Live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
Yeah, that's right, and that's another close of Bike Sport Radio. Thanks for listening. No show July 4th due to the holiday. And we'll be back on Monday, July 11th. Drive your bike just like your car.
Me a kiss, and later on, when the squad car came around, I ate a handful of peanuts, and I told them this.